Assalamu alaikum.
Hope you're doing well.
Thank you very much.
How are you, Sheikh?
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So, Sheikh, the question for today is, does prayers eliminate our sins? Does it have any effect on our sins?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, the question is about the impact of salat or prayer, as you mentioned,
right,
for the eliminating of our sins.
Right.
How it is possible when I pray, when you pray, and actually by prayer I mean salat.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're doing namaz.
Yeah.
How is it affect our life? How does it actually eliminate the sin?
Right.
How does it prevent us from committing different sins? Is it possible at all or not?
Mm-hmm.
Very good question. You know that the verses of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the prayer and having salat. And he said that one of the benefits of salat is that it prevents you from committing indecency and wrong actions. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.
That hadith is actually interesting, but it raises lots of questions.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Inshallah, we go to that.
Yeah.
He said that Allah subhanahu in chapter Ankabut, verse 45, he said that أقم الصلاة, establish the prayer. Very quickly, I have to mention, because it's related to our topic, what does it mean? What is the difference of أقم الصلاة and صلى?
Uh-huh.
Or, for example, صلوا. What is the difference of that?
People usually say that, you know, establishing a prayer and just pray.
What is the difference of that?
I
know. You know, maybe one of the differences of that is أقم الصلاة. Actually, in the verses of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with the concept of iqamat as-salah.
Uh-huh.
We do not have in the verses of Noble Quran, and maybe in our narrations, we do not have, for example, at least in the verses of Noble Quran, we do not have sallu.
Right.
Okay, maybe in our narrations we have. But why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term aqim as-salah?
Right.
Maybe one of the wisdoms of that, he wanted to say that you have to observe your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Observe all conditions of the prayer.
And what do you mean by observing a prayer?
Exactly. You know that when you, you know, if you want to observe all etiquette of the prayer, mm-hmm. which means, first of all, you should have huzur qalb.
Right.
Which means
the presence of the heart.
Presence of the heart. It is very important not to have a scattered mind thinking
right.
about different things while you're praying.
Right.
It's very important. For example, other conditions of that is before the prayer, you, for example, go to the mosque, go to the congregational prayer, to put some times for that, focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, focus in your prayer only on what you pray, what you are talking about. You have connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
True.
It is very important. So it's I mean observe all etiquette of the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
It is a meaning, maybe one of the meanings of iqamat as-salah.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you salu very quickly without any care, carelessly you pray.
So
very fast.
Aqim as-salah has more observation in it, like
exactly.
more presence of mind.
More presence of you know, mind and other conditions of the prayer. And
right.
this prayer has an effect on it
mm-hmm.
into it. He said, أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Because salah prevents from the indecency and from wrong actions. These kind of prayer. Not
right.
ordinary prayer like me, for example. Very quickly, without any caring, carelessly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these prayer, maybe, I do not want to say it does not have any effect, but
mm-hmm.
very few minute
right.
affect that. But if you observe the all, you know, of the all conditions of the prayer, it has a fullest maximum effect and
mm-hmm.
impact in it.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ
سَاهُونَ.
It doesn't mean that those people who do not pray.
Mm-hmm.
It means that those people who do not care about their prayer.
Okay. But they still pray.
For example, they pray after, for example, 5 hours after the beginning of the prayer.
Uh-huh.
At the, you know, end of the time of the prayer, very quickly,
right.
carelessly, with a scattered mind, they pray.
Right.
I think this kind of prayer does not have, you know, proper effect.
Uh-huh.
But if you have the complete prayer, complete presence of heart, then you can actually experience the benefits of the prayer, which prevents you from the indecency and from the wrong actions.
Okay, now this raises a question. When someone is also praying on time, but he doesn't see any impact on his life, so what does it indicate?
That individual prays on time, but other conditions of the prayer. For example, go to the mosque, mm-hmm. in the congregational prayer, with fullest presence of mind, with the other conditions of prayer. Do you feel that you are talking by your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. If you have this prayer, I think it has the benefit of that. You can enjoy the benefit of that prayer. But if we do not have that prayer, unfortunately, we cannot experience the benefit of that. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, and then in the end of that, he said that wala dhikrullahi akbar. And the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much higher than that. Mm-hmm. Actually referring to this idea that one of the philosophy of prayer is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. It is very important. Because the most of the unfortunately, problems of human being and the reason of the committing sins and deviating from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafla, is ignorance, is not remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Staying away from Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please think about that. Maybe the roots of the all evil action that human being is committing because of ghifla, because of forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right now, la dhikrullahi akbar. Okay, if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much higher, much greater. And then I think we can understand why salat is tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar.
Right.
Why salat is preventing us from committing wrong actions.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Of course, as you mentioned, ghifla is the ghifla leads humans to perform sins or wrongful acts. Like if we really remain mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we think twice, not even twice, 100 times before committing any sin. And with respect to all the things you mentioned, can we categorize prayer into as a good prayer or a bad prayer? Or like better, I would say that, less effective prayer, or a prayer that has less impact and more impact?
Of course, you can have your categorization, is okay. But only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which prayer is accepted and which of them is not accepted. According to our narration, you have checked, if you want to check your prayer, whether it has been accepted or not, you should check the result of that.
Right.
If in your day-to-day life, you have been prevented from committing indecency, it shows that to that extent, your prayer has been accepted. But if you see, for example, if I see, unfortunately, I do not care about the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not care about the Islamic teachings, it shows that my prayer did not accept it, unfortunately.
Right. So, Sheikh, now I want to ask the same question from another perspective. Like we say, prayer has a lot of good effects on our lives. But from the other side, we see people like the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Like we see the Khawarij. And we see the enemies in Karbala who killed, who martyred Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
Exactly.
So in those groups, there were people that they had marks on their foreheads due to long prostrations. And they were very particular about prayers. And if I'm not wrong, I have heard this narration that it was the Asr time, and before you know, for actually slaughtering Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, there was someone, some enemy, he was like, you know, just be quick, it's the time of Salat. Mm-hmm. So they're saying this before killing Imam al-Husayn. So there was this particular about prayer. So what does this prayer mean?
You know, that actually is one of the biggest and one of the greatest examples of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept their prayers. Okay? It's one of the, maybe one of the greatest prayer, you know, examples of that and samples of that.
Yeah.
It showed that those people, unfortunately, you know, they committed that biggest tragedy and crime of the history.
Yeah.
But while they were praying, so it showed that their prayer did not have any value, any effect on them.
Right.
You know, and because of that, they committed that biggest tragedy, you see. So it showed that it is possible that you be a vicious person on this planet, but you have, you know, you have the prayer, you have maybe supplication to to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, it's kind of ridiculing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Making fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay?
Yeah.
It shows that if you want to give the one example of that is, for example, the killers, those people who committed the crime in Karbala against Imam al-Hussein, or those people who are the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, they pretend to pray, they pretend to be, for example, on time. And actually, one of the biggest of condition of the prayer is to accept the actually velaya of Ahlul Bayt. At least does not have enmity toward Ahlul Bayt. It is very important.
Yeah.
You should not bear the enmity of Ahlul Bayt in your heart. It is very important. Yeah. And if you do not, if you lack this condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept your prayers. So actually, I have to be explicit here. I mean those people who have hatred toward Ahlul Bayt.
Right.
You know, maybe we have many people who are in ignorance of the position of Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah.
Maybe they do not have enough information about, I do not talk about those people. I only talk about those
Nasibis.
Yes, Nasibi, exactly. Very few people, actually. Very few people who have the hatred against Ahlul Bayt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sure does not accept their prayer.
Right.
And the prayer actually is not acceptable by the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That is what sometimes confuses me. Like, you are standing against the hujjat of Allah. You're standing against the authority of Allah. You're standing against the Imam, Imam al-Hussein. And you still stand in the musalla to pray Allah. Like, how do these things align? Like, these are completely opposite things.
Exactly.
As you mentioned, like, the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt is one of the main conditions of the prayer.
Exactly.
So you stand against them and still pray. Like, these things don't seem to align, Bachita.
Yes, we have many, plenty narrations in this regard that without the accepting the wilayah of Ahlul Bayt, your prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept your prayer. Especially those people, as I mentioned, who have hatred toward Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept their prayer.
So Shaykh, last question before we end the show. As we mentioned, the difference between sallu and aqim as-salah, like just pray and establishing a prayer. So before we end the show, can you give our audience good advice or tips so that we be the part of establishing prayers, so we can perform our prayers with all the observations and all our senses and being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Of course, our scholars, they have gave us a lot of advices in this regard. If you ask any scholar who are qualified one and ask him some advice, you know, for the traveling toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have journey, a spiritual journey toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, for example, Ayatollah Bahjat, those people who are famously, actually, and indeed, they are a man of God and man of
spiritual personality.
Spiritual personality. First and foremost advice that they give us is to have prayer, to establish the prayer. Very important.
And before going into the details, like, you know, first, that's the first step.
Yes, first step and the last step for Islamic spirituality, according actually to the Ahlul Bayt spirituality, is to care about your prayer. Yes, your prayer. To establish your prayer. Okay, right. But all etiquettes.
Right.
Remember fully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Easily said, but maybe for some of us difficult to practice that. But yeah. If you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance, He will help us and we can have iqamat as-salah.
Yeah.
Full-heartedly face toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Sheikh, and thank you very much, the audience, for staying with us. And that's all the time we had today. And from now on, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps us to establish better prayers. And with that being said, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husaynin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husaynin wa hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Tell a little about yourself.
Abhay Kishmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this warm, pleasant Sunday, March 26, 2023. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, from Hector Fria Hofre from Chile, and Parmod Kambla from India. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic or EQSL card from us. And here we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. We've received an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our old and regular listeners, from Shah MD Mukarram Hussain from Bangladesh, of course, one of our regular listeners, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia, again, one of our old and regular listeners, Monir from the UAE has sent us an email, and the last but not the least is an email from Ram Babu Kumar from India. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. As I said, Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us an email. Let's see what Jayanta says. Dear staff, greetings from India. I am Jayanta Chakrabarty from New Delhi. Nowruz marks the beginning of the spring season in Iran. It is celebrated as the Iranian New Year. On this happy and auspicious occasion, let me wish all who are celebrating this beautiful festival my very best wishes. May the coming year bring peace, happiness, and good health to all. You might be interested to know that Nowruz is also popular in the Indian subcontinent. It's a festival of spiritual renewal and thanksgiving for all the blessings received. The scale of celebration is commendable, though not as huge as in Iran. Indian Muslims, Iranians residing in India, and the Parsi Zoroastrian community who have migrated to India from Iran centuries ago all join in grand celebration. Each have their own unique rituals of celebrating Nowruz. Some of the interesting examples of sprinkling of water around the house to protect from harm and praying for divine blessings. The great poet of Bengal, Qazi Nazrul Islam, beautifully highlighted the various aspects of Nowruz in vivid sketches and poems which reflect hope and optimism for the coming year. Okay, first of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty, and many thanks for your congratulation message. I also appreciate you for giving our listeners such great information about Nowruz. Of course, Nowruz in India and the subcontinent. It was so great. So happy Nowruz to all those who celebrated in the world. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, again, thank you. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. We wish you all the best. And please accept our EQSL as verification. So let's see what Muhammad Briel from Malaysia says. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Aside from reading the Quran daily, fasting and performing virtuous deeds during the month of Ramadan, my wife and I feel blessed each year to be able to open our home to friends and family for iftar. While iftar for many Muslims in Malaysia takes place at mosques and restaurants around the country, my family and I usually choose to breakfast in our home. On a few occasions during the month of Ramadan, we invite our friends and relatives to join us for iftar. Given our international guests, a variety of cuisine is served for iftar. But before we sit down to dine, we breakfast with dates. Ramadan Kareem to all Muslims around the world. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia. And thank you very much for your great email. Ramadan Mubarak to you and all Muslims around the world, especially our Muslim listeners. Thank you for sharing your experiences during the month of Ramadan in your country, Malaysia, especially within your family and your friends. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Muhammad Briel from Malaysia, again, thank you. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And of course, share your experiences in your country, especially during the month of Ramadan, with us and with our great listeners around the world. We wish you all the best. Muhammad Briel from Malaysia. And from Bangladesh, we've received an email from Shah MD Mukarram Hussain. Shah MD Mukarram Hussain from Bangladesh says, first of all, happy Iranian New Year to all. Also, I request you by my heart to pray for my mother who is sick, because without mother, your friend became alone. With regards. Oh, salam and warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for, first of all, your congratulation message on the Iranian New Year, Nowruz. We are so sorry for your mother, Shah MD Mukarram Hussain from Bangladesh. And of course, we will pray for her to get well soon. As we are in the holy month of fasting, the holy month of Ramadan, we are near to God. So may Allah accept our prayers, especially our prayers for your mother. We wish that she will get well very soon. We wish you all the best. Shah MD Mukarram Hussain from Bangladesh, please write to us soon and let us know more about the condition of your mother. We wish her health. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your favorite program. And Ram Babukumar from India has sent us an email. Ram Babukumar says, dear friends, greetings from India and congratulations on the occasion of the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. Please send me the program schedule with some printed materials on my postal address as well as greetings cards. If possible, I'm waiting for your response. Thanks and regards. Salam to you, Ram Babukumar from India. Please accept our warm appreciations to you for your congratulation message for the holy month of Ramadan, the holy month of fasting. May Allah accept our prayers in this month. As for your request about sending you the materials you requested, you know, I'm afraid we can't, since sending any material in the time of pandemic is temporarily halted by IRIB English Radio. So please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL for our verification. And for finding our program schedule, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en. And there you can find the program schedule. Anyway, thank you very much for this email. Ram Babukumar from India, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And from the UAE, we've received an email from Monir, one of our old and regular listeners. Monir says, dear friends, thank you so much for the nice programs. Yesterday, I heard a nice feature program from you, which was about the blessed month of Ramadan. Hereby, I wanted to thank you and your staff at IRIB English Radio for this informative program. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital city of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Monir from the UAE, and thank you very much for sending this email to us. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We're so glad to hear that you enjoy IRIB English Radio programs, especially the program you said it was about the blessed month of Ramadan. Thanks a lot for letting us know what you think about our programs. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification. And here we come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye, I want to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Konstantin Borsenko from Russia, Hector Fria Hofre from Chile, Parmud Kampla from India, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, Muhammad Riel from Malaysia, Shah MD Mukarram Hussain from Bangladesh, Ram Babu Kumar from India, and also Monir from the UAE. Dear listeners, please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim.
Islamadi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. This is Youth Station. I am Asma, and in here I have Bita with me.
And I'm Bita at your service. Yes. Again, Youth Station. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure is mine.
Okay, how are you doing?
It goes well, as usual.
That tells it all.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, you tell me, how's it going?
Well, the usual dramas.
Yeah,
life moves
your eyes,
on. And
your eyes
and
are talking to me.
Yeah. So, they say, if my mouth doesn't say it, my eyes will.
Yeah. And you're that kind of person.
Yeah. So, Bita, the usual thing about the holy month of Ramadan is that when you get close to it, or when you are just entering it,
yeah,
during those days and nights, you start thinking about yourself more and more. Whatever you have done up until now and what you're going to do in the future.
In the future, yeah.
And since we're talking to the youth, and of course we are included.
We are youth.
So we would love to know more about how to improve ourselves.
Yeah.
How to be a better youth. How to be, or let me just be more precise, a Muslim youth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a big difference between the person who has got responsibility and the one who doesn't have.
Yeah.
So what do you think are the features of a good youth?
Yeah, it's a general question to answer.
Course.
You know, who is good and who is bad? And you know, the first question I think before these two questions is that who is the one who determines which is good and which is bad? Mm-hmm. You know, but
who is the one?
Right now I am the one. I'm kidding.
No, of course
you know. We have some set rules and I don't know, we have the Holy Quran and religion and so on. And we're not going to talk about that. So let's go for the features.
So you know what I usually think of when we go through novels and stories and then they start talking about the bad guy and the good guy. And I always say the same thing. I say, who says who is good and who is the bad? And then there's this quote that was at the end of one of the novels, which is very beautiful. And it said, who can say who is good in the eyes of God and who is not?
Nice. You know?
Then that becomes so detailed. But the thing has been cleared to us through the Holy Book of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and the narrations that has been passed down to us.
You know, it is always like that. You feel like some sympathy with the people who are relaying.
Yeah.
You know, because they have something in common with you. They're human beings and they make mistakes and they're real.
You know,
they're real. Exactly.
They're more real. Because we all are prone to anger. We all are prone to lying.
Yeah, exactly.
We might, at some occasions, turn out to be cruel people.
Yeah.
So that's why we have sympathies with them. But right now, let's just come back to our youth.
Yeah, I do agree. So I think there are many factors to determine who is good and who is not. But one of the most important key points here is communication, I think. You know, as a youth, especially Muslim youth, you have to know how to communicate. We may see many educated people in society that they are, I don't know, from a high status in social groups and ethnicity, but they don't know how to communicate with other people. This is a problem. Because if you are a good person, you have to show other people that you are a good person. And at the next level, you have to persuade them to be good. You know, and it needs a good communication. I don't want anyone to try to be the expert in these communications, but we have to try our best.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if whether you are a good communicator or not, but I think I have a lot to do.
Well, you know, I guess we have to elaborate on that more and more. As in general way of saying it, the way you put it, it means that I must be in good relationship with others. Do you mean that?
Yeah, somehow, exactly.
So, well, there might be there might be some youth out there who are listening to us.
Yeah.
And they would say, okay, why do I have to have a relationship with others?
I told you, you know, because if you have to show your individuality, your personality to other
people.
You
mean that we must have a good impact on others.
Exactly.
So in that way, well, as far as, you know, I could have some peace with them. Yes, it's okay. But I guess I'm not that extrovert to have too much of relationships.
No, I'm not telling you to make new friendship with other people.
But having a logical relationship
and,
you know, putting things on a scale. Yes, I guess I do try my best. I don't know how successful I have been.
But, you know, it's not about having a lot of people in your, group of social communication.
In your vicinity.
It's about the quality, not quantity.
Of course.
Yeah. So let's go for a short break.
Of course.
And then we're going to come back here.
Yeah. So, dear youth, we are talking about you. This is Youth Station. Okay, Bital.
Yeah.
You mentioned the first point, which was having a good relationship, being in good terms with people.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's the gist. And then, to me, I guess, to be productive, to study too much of books, to educate yourself, to be so knowledgeable, to be so in touch with the new, you know, with the new knowledge that goes round and round throughout the world, it's the best thing for Muslim youth because that would help them develop their society. And then if the society develops, your country would develop. And then in that way, totally all the people around you are going to benefit.
Yeah.
So educating yourself means that you're going to be a better person. You're going to, you know, be at peace with yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be productive all in all. That's all I mean.
I understand you. This productivity is something that really matters, especially in youth generation, because we are the generation who's going to build the future of this country, of the society of the world, you know.
Yeah.
And so we are so important, but you have to, I don't know, be more, a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
We are youth generation, and this youth generation doesn't want to spend time on these sort of things.
You know, that's the next point I want to mention.
Yeah, I'm all
stop being lazy.
Thank you.
I say it to myself, you know, because I think I'm a lazy person. I usually say if I was not lazy, I would have done too much more things.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, not to being lazy needs a kind of a strong passion. You have
motivation,
to be passionate. Motivation.
You need a driving force, and I guess that must come from the up above, you know?
Thank you. But, you know, I think you have to find it around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the closer your aspiration is to you, the more you're inspired to do something, the more passionate you are.
Yeah, but sometimes it's very difficult to find it around you.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you that it's not difficult.
And
but
some people are not very good in keeping track of these driving forces, you know? I cannot wake up every morning and tell myself that you're strong, you can do this, you're going to accomplish many things.
No.
Me knowing all the experiences that
the
I
same
had
way for
and
me.
All the things that I've seen and the road that I've been through. So I don't think that would work for all the people.
No, it won't work for most of the people, I think. You know, I think sometimes there should be some obligations. For example,
this is another point.
Yeah,
put obligations for yourself.
Obligation, exactly. I think it will help you to find yourself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you shouldn't be that free to think.
Exactly.
Overthink.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. You know, another thing which I think is really important here is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not talking only about self-confidence, but self-confidence is a kind of major thing that we have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we lack it so much, especially in youth generation.
And some people have it too much.
I know it. There
Both
is no balance
going
here.
To kill,
And I think the people who have it more than usual are so unnerved. And annoying.
Of course,
So
try to have balance as well.
Yeah. This balance is so important, and this belief in your abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to believe ourselves. You know, stop being lazy or, I don't know, pursue whatever you want to do, being ambitious and so on, I think, has only one key. In this case, the belief in yourself.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I told you. That driving force must come from the skies. There must be a deep connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that is going to help you so much throughout the way. You know, as living, breathing beings, every day is a new turn in our life and no one knows what is going to happen. Because of this, there might be some situations in which we lose our temper, we might be so sad, we might even cross the road of depression. So going through all of these things, if you don't have that trust and belief in Allah, you're not going to I guess, be successful.
You know what? It's like it is like life is not easy.
Of course.
There are difficulties, ups and downs, and so on. But the problem, I think, at that time is that the speed of these changes is so high that they cannot reach them.
Exactly.
And this modern world, you have to find a kind of source of peace.
Yeah, and all the problems comes with the modern world.
Yeah, exactly. Technology.
Technology
is a problem because, I don't know.
That laziness we talked about, one of the reasons
for
that is just this technology.
I do agree.
And right now, just I guess we have to go for a break.
Oh, too soon.
Yeah.
Time flies.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We're still on Youth Station, and this is the Finalmon. Yeah, and we're talking about you, all the youth out there.
Yeah, if you're talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree.
And we've mentioned pretty much a point out there.
Yeah.
Stop procrastinating things. Don't be lazy. If you have something in your mind, go for it.
Yeah, stop delaying and postponing whatever you're
going to
do.
And if you think you lack confidence, you have to develop that in yourself and try to grasp more and more of it, because then it's going to work like an energy that comes from your inside, and then that would help you flourish your future.
And there is something left.
Mm-hmm.
Patience.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, we forget that. We have to be patient sometimes. Sometimes you do your best,
you
run. I don't know, you kill yourself to achieve something, but you can't. And this time, there is something like hikmat and wisdom of God. You have to wait.
Yes, we
there
have
is a
to
gift
wait,
here.
But we shouldn't.
I'm not talking about that.
There
stop
must
doing
not
something.
Be, I wanted to mention that. There mustn't be this misunderstanding about being patient
and not doing
and
something,
putting things off.
This is laziness.
Forgetting about them.
Yeah.
You know? Because sometimes in some situations when things get difficult, you stop doing anything just because you say to yourself, okay, I'm being patient. No, this is not being patient. This is not taking any action.
This is exactly like that, because we are searching for a way to run away from all the obstacles, all the problems, and patience is a good excuse.
Yeah. Patience, I guess, means you do your best and then leave the rest to God.
Yeah,
that is patience.
Yeah, and the trust you have in God here in this path is so important.
Does have a great role.
It has.
Yeah.
And I think we have to work on ourselves, me, myself.
More and more, yes.
Yeah, I have a lot to do.
Whatever we say in here, we say it to ourselves at first.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we know youth do not like advice.
Yeah.
The worst advice
I don't like it
advice.
Myself. I'm from the group that I'm so against advisors.
Mm.
You know, I think I have to experience everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter what the consequences. I will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to add it right now, but we have to say bye.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is just the ending point. It was so pleasurable to be here with you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session from me and Bita, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio. For those who seek the truth.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and He's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Well, in this program, we answer the questions that you have related to the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad. May peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor Nakavi, there was a question in the previous episode asked by a concerned mother whose son was 19, and she said that she's concerned because their son is spending a lot of money on his hair gels and his jeans, his outfits, and they're concerned, like spending a lot of money on his parent features. And you helped us understand to look for a different circle, to engage him in different activities, to actually do a lot of things. And one of the things that remained in our discussion was to provide an environment wherein you actually are creating the soldiers for Imam. How do we do with the teens today who are actually more concerned about what they wear, what they look like, what others think about them, and who are more concerned about all this? How can you actually get out soldiers for Imam from them?
Yes, number one, we need to be convinced ourselves that we need to become soldiers of the awaited Imam, and then we need to make our children convinced about that and make them realize the fact that the Imam is being awaited. He is the awaited Imam, true. We are waiting for him. But more important or more relevant is the fact that he is waiting for us.
He's
waiting for us to do something. What does he expect us to do? Look, when we say that the Imam is coming and he's going to lead the humanity towards salvation and he's going to bring about a change in the whole of the world, there's going to be a revolution in the whole world and a very beautiful society, human society, based on egalitarian principles, on justice, on wisdom will be formed. He needs people who can work for him. As good managers, as good leaders, as good educators, as good people who can manage finances, people who can manage maybe the armed forces, who become soldiers. So in every field of human activity, the Imam requires competent people.
All right.
So we need to understand that the more we strive and persevere to increase our competency, and the best time to do that is in the teenage.
Okay.
The best learning time is till 20-25 is the most.
All right.
So we need to make ourselves and our children realize the fact that if we want to become soldiers of the awaited Imam, we need to increase our competencies in various fields. So, as I was saying, the Imam is waiting for us to become competent soldiers. He is not, what we think of apparently is that he, the awaited Imam, God forbid, is coming and he's got a magic wand in his hand and he's going to just,
fix everything.
And he's going to fix everything. No, that is not the case. Yes, he will be certainly supported by forces which we cannot see. There is no doubt about that, but the most important thing is the human element. If that was the case, then Imam Hussein alayhi salam could have very easily destroyed Yazid and his family by just praying to Allah Almighty and everything would have evaporated.
Yeah.
So that was not a problem. The issue is the way that the Imams have shown us that despite their special attributes, which are God-given attributes, in which they excel and surpass normal human beings, but they're not used to use. They're not supposed to use them.
All right.
They role models for us to be able to follow and imitate in them and follow in their footsteps, and they have to provide us examples which we can follow.
Yeah.
So they want us to become perfect. They want
exactly.
us to become better.
So it's actually Imam waiting for us to become a perfect, not actually waiting with a magic wand in his hand. We'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Akavi today. And Professor Salman Akavi, you said to us that those children, those teens who are actually more concerned about the attire, how they look like, we got to be deviating their attention, that this is not the world, this is not the end of the world. There are so many things out there, and we got to be making them competent to be the soldiers of Imam, because Imams are actually Imam of the time is waiting for us to be competent. He's not waiting with a magic wand in his hand and to fix everything. So how do we actually make our children competent?
So competency, as I've also been mentioning before, that is the application of your knowledge and skills to a given situation. When are you competent to do something? When you have the knowledge and the skills to carry out a certain task. So you have tasks to perform in different aspects of your life. So you need to educate yourselves, increase your knowledge about those things. As I said, as professionals, for example, you have various fields of in which you can work as managers and leaders and educators. So you need to increase your knowledge about these fields and which one to you want to take as a career. Before you enter a career, you need to know what that career entails and what you need to acquire in the form of knowledge and skills. So we need to, one of the important things is that let's not go with what society is saying, and as a convention society. Once upon a time, when we were young, the people were saying either go to medicine or go to engineering. That were the two lines that were taken.
Two fields, all right.
Then came upon a time, once we said, now we go into business administration and so on. And then information technology came along and people started going into computer technology and information. So, I mean, it's not just, we should not go with how the wind is blowing. We should go, what is the required by society essentially? One of the competent people need to develop their cognition, their knowledge, increase their knowledge about, as I said, about themselves and about the environment and about their creator, about the Lord, about other human beings. And then we need to manage our feelings, as we have been saying all along, managing of emotions and feelings, positive thinking about other people is important, about ourselves is important. And then skills, what things we need to be able to do proper. For example, the basic skills of how to learn, how to speak, how to communicate, how to engage with others. These are basic common skills which are to be learned. And so we need to be teaching our children.
To be competent, we got to be teaching them all this. We'll discuss more on this topic, Professor, after a short break. The listeners, stay tuned.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi today, and Professor is helping us to understand how to make your children competent, especially when Imam is waiting for us, his soldiers, to be competent. Yes, Professor.
One of the things which the Quran talks about in great detail, not in great detail, but points out the historical events which took place and which we can draw lessons from.
All right.
So one of the things that the Holy Quran wants us to do is to find